الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها نعمة. الحمد لله على منة الولاية وكفى بها منة. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا النبي المؤيد والرسول المسدد والمصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سفن النجاة الأعلام، من ركب سفينتهم نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك وغرق. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think I owe everyone in this mosque an apology from yesterday. So I ask for your forgiveness and pardon for not being able to make it yesterday. My health wasn't helping that much. And as you can see, my voice is slowly fading away. So inshallah, with your da'awat, with your salat, with your prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the strength to go on. Otherwise, you will get some complaints from the people in London saying, what have you done to this sheikh? We still want him for the next 15 days. But inshallah, your heart will be so much open and wide to contain my shortcomings, and you will forgive me for that. As we have been saying in regard to the points that will help us, inshallah, empower our soul with the characteristics and the traits in which the power of divine can overtake the power of Satan. And as we said, that we arrive to point number 5, and that is to be on guard against the guiles of the cursed valiant, yani shaitan. To always be on guard against the waswas or the whispering of shaitan in whatever situation we find that shaitan is trying to whisper to us these things. And let me give you an example of how we can achieve these things. If you look around you and you will see, for example, all the electricity lines. What keeps these electrical lines from getting in contact with one another, and in the process of doing so, we will get electrocuted? There is a very fine plastic shield that we call insulation that separates these lines from one another, right? If this insulation is taken away, what happens? The whole thing will get in fire, because any contact between plus and minus in these electricity lines or cords will cause an electrocution, and we will have a problem on our hand. Therefore, if we can't have an insulation between ourselves and shaitan, we will also be electrocuted. And the thing that will be electrocuted is not your body, but your soul. Your soul. And often, for example, if you have a computer or you have something precious, if something goes wrong with the outside shell of that computer, you are not worried. If the keyboard malfunctions, you say, I'll get another keyboard. It's not a problem. 2,000 shillings, I'll get another keyboard. If the, the soft drive, something happens to it, you'll say, it doesn't matter, I can replace it. But once the hard drives goes, you'll start beating on your head. Ah, Bana, what happened today to the computer? And then you have to go to Computer World or God knows what, you know, some of the shops around. And then the price will be exorbitant. I cannot afford to have my soul electrocuted, brothers and sisters. We must have that insulation. And that insulation between us and shaitan is dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To always be in constant reminder and contemplation and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. Otherwise, we are actually electrocuting ourselves without even realizing at times. Because to lose the body is not an issue, but to lose the heart and to lose the soul becomes the major issue on the day of judgment. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. During that process of guarding one's against his against the guiles or the curse, against the temptation and the guiles of shaitan, comes what we call the estimation and evaluation of vice versus virtue. In that process where I'm guarding myself, I must also have a plan of what we call a spiritual agenda. Everyone has an agenda to keep appointments. And sometimes there are very important appointments in our life that we highlight with this, you know, what we call highlighter, you know, with bright fluorescent colors like green and orange and all the good colors that you can highlight. Why? Because that appointment means what? That appointment means maybe a lucrative deal of maybe 2 million shillings or 3 million shillings. So you highlight it. You won't miss that particular, appointment. Allah recommends, the Prophet ﷺ recommends that you keep a spiritual agenda. And you highlight certain appointments with what? With the rays of your hearts. And what sort of appointments are these? As we have been speaking earlier, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. Keep a spiritual agenda that you tell yourself, I commit to Allah that when I wake up from my sleep and before I go to sleep, I must engage in the act of sujood to Allah at least for 2 or 3 minutes on a daily basis. Why? Because the rays and the tuning of that dish that we call the heart will be in total harmony with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can increase that sort of spiritual exercise until it becomes part and parcel of your daily spiritual exercise. That you would find yourself like a miskeen or a yateen if you don't engage in these spiritual exercises. And we don't say that these spiritual exercises should be a practice all of a sudden. Someone came to the Imam once and he asked him to give him an advice. He said, make sure when you practice something spiritual, if you can do it in bulk, do it in small amounts, but make sure it is constant. It is constant. Don't do something bulk but interrupted. Like for example, I wake up every day, I pray 20 rak'at. Or one day I pray 20 rak'at, for the next 2 weeks, I don't wake up at all. Imam says, don't do that. It is better to wake up every day and do 2 rak'at than to interrupt that pattern. Because in that pattern, there is a particular link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you go to your doctor. Just like yesterday, I had to go and see my doctor, one of your respected doctors in the community. He said, you take 2 tablets of this medicine and 1 tablet of that medicine. I was in pain. I said, let me take 3. I thought, take 3 what? I'm not a doctor. I don't know how the body functions. If I take a three, maybe something else will be affected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have a pattern of worship. Keep that pattern. It is because of your body and spirit work in a particular fashion that when you do that pattern, your body and your soul will respond. If you don't, your body and soul will be affected. So there are certain patterns that we can't choose ourselves otherwise. And if we don't keep that pattern, then we are not feeding our body and that soul with a particular feeding that it needs, as it has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. To keep an estimation and evaluation process whereby I start examining my deeds. What have I done during today? And what is worse than what? And what is better than what? Even if it means that I have to write them down, let it be. Let it be. Keep with you a book of saying, what are the good things in today I can do? What should be the things I could refrain from? You know, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi says, every one of you can come or can assume to an extent a certain amount of infallibility. How? He said, every day you see the things you are practicing and they are not good. They are vices. You keep away from them, you will become infallible in regard to that particular issue. Because what is infallibility? Infallibility is the process of being able to keep away from masiyah. That is infallibility. It is not something written on you. It is something that you gain or attain through exercise. To the degree that you become, for example, those who don't drink are infallible in regard to drinking. Those who don't smoke are infallible in regard to smoking. Those who don't backbite are infallible in that area. Those who don't slander are infallible in regard. So your infallibility is increasing until it reaches such proportional standards that even you avoid makruh acts. Not only haram acts, but even makruh acts. Until you find yourself in a position that you are only indulging in what is halal. And not only what is halal, you would only also, you would sometimes find yourself refraining from halal out of fear of falling into haram. Subhanallah, how I refrain from halal out of fear of refraining or out of fear of falling into haram. For example, yani it's a disputed issue in regard to smoking. It is makruh to smoke, for example. It is not haram. So I avoid smoking out of fear that I may go and fall into illicit things. I refrain. Or I refrain from talking. Ya Allah. Or even talking, there is a problem with it. Yeah. Maybe you are sitting in a particular group and that group is indulging in ghiba and you start to speak. You find yourself beginning to exercise the vice of ghiba. So you say, no, I would remain silent. In fact, the Quran advised and the Prophet ﷺ complements that advice. He said, whoever happens to be in a session or in a particular circle where haram is being done and he is unable to change it, he should leave. He should leave. He should not say, I'm not taking part. I've got nothing to do with it. No. If you are the one who is speaking or if you are a listener, the listener and the one indulging in that session, both are one and the same in that regard. So I refrain from speaking. I refrain from these sessions out of fear of falling into haram. Wal-iyadu billah. And then comes the following point. A struggler should examine the effect and demerits of each one of moral vices and bad deeds. I should weigh, like the previous one. What is what in regard to my book of Hasanat? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْسَمْنَاهُ طَائِرُهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You will be the judge of your own self. When someone opens his book, he says, يَا وَيْلَتَ مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Why is this book not abandoning anything small or major except that it is written? It is there you find that, subhanallah, on the 10th of Ramadan, as I was coming to the mosque, I saw something I didn't say, or lower my gaze. It's still there from that time. And you read, Ya Allah, forgive me. Too late. Too late. It should have been there. And then that when I'm coming, I'm remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over me. So I must examine the effect of these demerits, whereby that look or casting of an eye, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would leave a black spot on my heart. Every time I look with riba, with suspicion, at something that I should not indulge in casting an eye on, one drop of black stain is in my heart. Until the Prophet ﷺ explains that heart becomes so black because of these drops of black stains. Why? Because looking at haram is like an arrow of Iblis. Iblis throws an arrow in our hearts. And then, taqsa al-qulub. As a result, our hearts become hardened. That some people come to you and they tell you, my heart is so hard that even if you read dua or Quran with the most beautiful voices, I don't feel affected. I don't have any feeling towards Allah or towards doing good or towards any of these things. Why? Because of the hardening of the heart, because of the blackness of the heart, the rigidity of the heart, it becomes rusted. And what takes away that rust? إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ لَتَصْبَأ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed hearts can become rusted, or indeed the heart will rust. قَالُوا وَمَا جَلَاؤُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How can we clean it? Do we get jiff and start scrubbing? No, it doesn't work. You can't clean it with jiff and all this washing detergent. He said, وَجِلَاؤُهَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. And it's cleansing. And the way to soften it, and the way to take away these black stains, is by constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone came to another alim once, and he said, my heart is so hardened. He said, do you have an orphan in your town? He said, yes, but I never go near them. He said, go and caress his head. Allah will soften your heart. Allah will make your heart. There was a man in Medina once. He was so feed by the people of Medina because of his vices. If someone says salamu alaykum to him, he will break his neck. That was his character. That he doesn't want anyone to talk to him. He had such a very bad character that people, when they see him, they used to take the next road. If he's walking in one road, they will walk through the other road. So one day, he was coming across an alley, and he found a little orphan or a little boy seated by the door of the mosque. He asks, who does this son belong to? He said, he is the son of so-and-so who had passed away some 5 years ago. And Allah gave, or his brother gave, the custody of that child to his uncle, to the uncle of the child. But his uncle had taken all the money that was left by the father of that child, and that uncle is not looking or taking care of that nephew of his. He puts his hand on the head of that boy and he caresses him. And he takes him into his hand and he takes him home. He showers him. He feeds him. And then he brings him back to the uncle's house. He said, if you don't take care of him, you know what will happen to you. Because everyone is afraid of that person. And that guy, when he sees that person, he said, his name was Umran. He said, Umran is my house. A'udhu billah. And he starts making, you know, hawqala, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is this man doing in my house? He said, you better look after him. So he leaves him. The following day, that Umran is in the mosque, which he had never entered. So that imam of that mosque says to Umran, what is your story? We've never seen your face in the mosque. He said, yesterday I saw that young boy in my dream, where malaika were taking me to fire, to the hellfire, only for that boy to come and stand between me and malaika. And he says, don't take him, for he looked after me for one night. Make me intercede on his behalf. And then he takes him away from the hands of malaikatul adab, and he takes him to malaikatul rahmah. And he puts him in Malaikatul Rahmah. And then he says to the imam of the mosque, he said, how could I not come back to Allah after such a dream? How could I not come back to Allah after such a dream? When the heart hardened, we have to soften it. And we can't soften it unless we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 8 comes what we say we must compare. We must compare these deeds with the benefits and blessing of good deeds. When we are looking at our demerits point, let us see the blessings. What would be my position if I indulge in blessings? What would be my position if I start doing good, in as far as my community and my family is concerned, in as far as my own next of kin is concerned, in as far as my members, my community members that live with me is concerned, in regard to my own self? First and foremost, before anyone else, to look after my own spiritual advancement and progress. And then a struggler, someone who struggles, al-jihad, jihadun nafs, must understand that once the reign of imagination is let loose, there is no limit to one's own self to pursue more and more at any cost. Now the question that remains in place, that man attains his goals for how long? And if I indulge in haram, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ may Allah refrain us from haram. If I indulge in every act of what we call joyful moments, if I indulge in everything that is contrary to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the question is, for how long will I be able to endure such enjoyment before I physically begin to lose the ability to go on? For how long? And when the spring of youth fades away, يَا لَيْتَ الشَّبَابَ يَعُودُ يَوْمًا فَيُخْبِرُهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمَشِيبُ. If only the days of youth would come back, so the one who had turned gray would tell his youth day what he has done. What he has done in regard to what? Good or evil, depending on what situation you find yourself in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us constantly in the Quran to pay heed and to think very profoundly about the days when I begin to lose my physical agility, my physical ability, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرْ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. There are those, due to the indulging of haram and indulging in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade, they will go back to the lowest levels of creation, to the lowest. So much so that he reaches a stage where he does not know anything after that. He just becomes like a little child. Like a child needs to be looked after and given care, you know, in terms of feeding, in terms of relieving oneself, in terms of anything. It comes like a child. He needs constant 24-hour care and respite for people to look after him. And when our organs lose their vitality and our eyes dim, our hearing is impaired, our senses of touch weakens, ability to get pleasure declines or is completely lost, then hosts of ailments make us an easy prey. When our digestive system or assimilative system or excretory system fail, when our respiratory system cannot perform its proper function, what happens then? What happens to a man when he reaches, or to a woman reaches such a state of affairs? What will happen? Only deep sighs will take place of remorse. Then the inner voice of regret will come out and will start crying loudly, Ya waylata ala ma farrattu fi jambi Allah. Wow unto me for being negligent in as far as what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to do. Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. If only I did not take the company of that person as a friend. Ya laytani ittakhastu ma'a ar-rasul sabila. If only I took the path and the road of prophets and I indulged in their teachings and the teachings of the imma salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. What is that period of enjoyment? 30 to 40 years at best. At best. From the time you attain the ability to indulge in these things to the time you lose the hearing ability, the agility, the ability to move, you know, the ability to enjoy. It's about 30 to 40 years. Maximum 50s. Let's give it. Let me give you that example and see whether these 40 years are worth it. Let's see if these 40 years are actually worth it. If I tell someone that I have prepared for you a garden in this earth, and that garden has every possible pleasure that you can think of, anything you can dream of is in that garden of that house. You live in it as much as you want for 30, 40 years, free of charge. I'm giving it to you out of my generosity. But the minute you step outside, see that furnace that is blowing? See that furnace that you call tandoor? You know, tandoor, where you put your tandoori chicken and, you know, that bread. I said, see that tandoor? You don't even have to take a step. The minute you leave that garden, you'll find yourself in that tandoor. And that tandoor is sitting there. While all the pleasures of that garden are there, there is a glass door and that person is seeing that tandoor with fires coming out. Would that person ever contemplate even looking at anything in that garden? No. So what is blocking our vision from the Nar of Akhirah? What is blocking that view of the Nar of Akhirah is the indulging, the engrossment of worldly affairs in absence of looking at that glass door. I don't want to look. I want to think that that glass door does not exist, while in fact it is in front of me. While in fact it is right there, as the Prophet ﷺ said, when you want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't be indulging in worldly affairs. Put the Kaaba in front of you. Visualize it there, that you are right there in the haram. And make Jannah on your right hand side and Nar on your left hand side. You tell me then if you think of anything other than that in your prayers. And the same thing should happen in my day-to-day life. I should always think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the torment and the pleasures of Jannah and Nar. And then let me see what my state of affairs will be in relation to my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt you will be on the road of salvation and on the road to getting closer and closer to the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hada wa billahi tawfiq. Aqulu qawli wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salla ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.